Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres have some early baseball in Milwaukee as they get ready to wrap up the road trip. And our host Jesse Agler, for one, is happy about the early start, because after the game, he'll try to win some money off of a coworker this afternoon.
I would love to play poker with Blooper.
I don't know how to play poker, so
Even better. We'll teach you. Don't worry about it. It's real easy.
Our other host is Mike Grace, who also knows a little something about taking advantage when the situation presents itself.
What did you say? Slap the suckers?
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Mike Grace.
Welcome back, or welcome to. This is actually the beginning of the show.
Right now we're starting.
If you watched yesterday, welcome back.
Which they do.
Everybody watches every day. That's how this works. Padres Social Hour, presented by United. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, August 6, 2015. Just another beautiful day in America's finest city. How about that? How about after the game this afternoon, we just take a sailboat out and we go Point Loma, go sail around the bay. What do you think? You and me, Gracie.
I'm all for getting in on the water. There's no chance I'm getting in a boat with anybody in this room and sailing. We're going to end up all is lost, Robert Redford. Are you a sailor?
I can sail.
You legitimately know how to sail.
I've been sailing most of my life.
Okay.
I grew up in the South Florida area. Lots of sailing here. Tremendous sailing in San Diego.
I've seen it.
I mean, just otherworldly.
First off, I apologize for assuming that you don't know how to sail.
I could sail you around the bay masterfully.
All right.
Depending on the kind of craft we're in.
I'm in then. I don't expect anything out of me. I mean, I could pull a rope or do a little manual labor.
A line. Let's get the terminology down before anything else. We don't call it a rope on a boat. We call it a line.
But it's a rope, though, right?
It is a rope technically, but you refer to it as a line. Anyway, if I say pull that thing and now stop, you can do that.
I could do that.
You're not Blooper.
No, like our conversation earlier, I'm straight labor. There's no skill to anything I would do.
All right.
And I would take perfect direction, unlike Blooper.
Okay. We'll go sailing. Point Loma. San Diego Bay. All that after the
Becky
Padres.
Becky, get us a boat.
After the Padres beat the Brewers today.
Oh,
and yeah, please. That's exactly right. Last night, did not go as planned. 8-5 Milwaukee over San Diego. A little bit of a weird one.
Yeah.
A little bit of a weird one. We'll talk about that game coming up. Jesse Spector of the Sporting News will join us coming up in a little while as well. All of the Jessies will be here. He does a really nice job on Twitter at Jesse Spector and at the Sporting News, writing about different baseball things. He takes a really, I think, realistic view of things. He sort of understands the modern state of baseball. He's a young guy like us. He's not kind of one of these people that thinks nothing has changed since 1950,
right,
which some of the national writers, they're like that. He seems to understand the modern landscape of baseball. So we'll go big picture with him around the big leagues, and that's always fun catching up with Jesse Spector. But as I said, yesterday, 8-5, and this one, frustrating, one of the words that kept popping into my head as I'm watching that game, and for different reasons at different points in the night.
Frustrating, confusing to me.
Oh.
And this pitching staff has been one of the most confusing things to me, and Ian Kennedy was just the epitome of it last night. He has an awful first inning, and so I went to the fan graphics, like Kurt likes to do,
yeah,
and tried to look up some of the numbers, and it's just the fly ball rate that turns into home runs for him are just astounding this
yeah.
year. He's basically double the league average, which when people talked about reasons for optimism for this team, their fly ball to home run rate was ridiculous. It's got to come down. Well, his hasn't, and James Shields hasn't. So, you know, but then after that, he's great for six more innings. He goes 120 pitches. He was everything you wanted him to be. But at the same time, you're like, you look at this team last year and this pitching staff from last year where they would go weeks where each guy would go 7-8 innings, maybe give up one run, and you could just count on that. And when they need it right now, they're just not quite getting it. And he just made, basically three mistakes. There were two hits in that first inning that were ground balls, super close to being outs. But three really hard hit balls. That's what killed him for the entire game.
Four runs in the first inning allowed by Ian Kennedy. I agree with basically everything you just said. However, if I'm going to hit the thing and I'm going to zoom out a little bit, I'm going to say that when Ian Kennedy left the game after seven innings, it was 4-2. It was 4-2. So, yeah, you would love for him to have had a better first inning, but they were still in position, you know, to make a run at the thing. And then Marcus Mateo comes out. There's an issue in center field defensively with Melvin Upton Jr., and it kind of unraveled a little bit as the Brewers were able to add on four more runs in the eighth inning off the bullpen.
I'm to the point in this season where right now, obviously, these are the most important games they're going to play. You can't even think about what games are going to be like in September. This, you've got to win right now.
Right.
And I'm not one to second guess or you know, whatever with Pat Murphy, but I think at some point soon he's got to reevaluate how he manages this game. So, yes, down 4-2. Normally you're not going to bring in a Joaquin Benoit, but to me, you kind of have to start managing a little differently in that you've got to keep that game close no matter what. So throw out your best guy. Pretend like you have a lead. Give your offense a chance, which we saw them put up some runs there at the end of the game. Maybe Mateo's not the perfect guy there. I don't know. And I, like I said, I don't want to be a second guesser, but you almost have to change your thinking. You've got to win these games now.
All right. Let's hear what Pat Murphy said about Marcus Mateo after the game, because he kind of went into some detail as to, you know, what he's expecting out of this guy right now. He has sort of turned into the sixth inning guy, quote unquote, a little bit. But again, down two, you go by the book. Yeah, you're not going to bring in a Benoit in that situation. But here's what Pat Murphy said after the game about Marcus Mateo.
You know, Marcus has shown flashes of great things. Really has. Throws 95. He's got a consistent slider. He can throw for a strike. And just wanted to grab him right away. You know, he's going through a rough patch and say, you know, you have great value and you can do this thing. And I've had some things go against you. He even made some good pitches tonight that got hit, you know. He's not on top of his game. And we got to get him comfortable and got to get him back focused the right way and so he can be effective for us.
Not only did he make a couple of nice pitches that were hit, he also he threw a couple that he didn't get the call on.
Yeah, he got squeezed.
And it looked like it affected him out there. And I don't know if it did or not, but, you know, as I'm watching on television, I'm saying, you know, he's a little bit upset, you know, and that can sometimes hurt the focus. Learning experience kind of night for that guy. But as you said, at this point right now with what these games mean, you know, you would rather just, you know, get into a situation where it's a sure thing, not a learning thing for a guy. So I get what you're saying. But you saw Jose Valentin, you saw Pat Murphy both talking to him on the bench when he got out of there. The crazy thing, and this is so easy to forget, he had two outs without a run coming in. There were guys on base, but all the runs in that inning crossed the plate after there were two outs.
Yeah, and Pat developed a real relationship with this guy at AAA. So I think that has something with it to do with it as well. So he's going to have more faith in him than we have because he's been with him for an entire year. So he knows everything about Marcus Mateo. Felt like he was the guy for the job. So I completely understand that. It's just, it's so frustrating. Like you said before, like the Jose Fernandez game. If you're going up against a tough pitcher, Taylor Youngman was tough. All right, keep it close. Get into a bullpen. Trust this offense to get some runs against the bullpen. You got to keep that game close no matter what it takes. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's where our frustration came in with that.
No, I understand certainly what you're saying. If you're going to sum this thing up maybe in 140 characters or fewer last night, I would have said top of the eighth, nope. Bottom of the eighth, yep, or vice versa, I guess. Because in the top of the eighth inning, looked like in a two-run game, the Padres had themselves a nice situation to get the leadoff double from Melvin Upton Jr. And they're like, all right, here we go. Top of the order coming up, down two, runner on second base, nobody out, and strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. That wasn't a good feeling. And then, again, you go to the bottom of the eighth and all that Mateo stuff went down.
Right, exactly. No, that was really rough because you've seen that on this road trip, the amazing Met game with the Upton Rain home run.
Yeah.
You feel good about this team making some magic happen. And they did happen in the ninth.
Yeah.
But you were just too far down. And that home run that Wallace hit.
Oh, my goodness.
Have we got a distance on that? I never heard one.
439, I think, according to MLB StatCast.
Wow.
He hurt the baseball. The baseball actually was physically hurt by this.
Yeah.
You heard it whimper as it struck the bat. That's about as hard a ball as we've seen hit all season by the Padres. And it went way up there. In right center field.
It's like that that old graphic you used to see on the old Matrix scoreboards where the ball goes off screaming.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the little cartoon baseball. That's kind of like what you saw with that. No, it was funny. Fastball right where he wanted it, down to the left-handed hitter, and he swung as hard as he possibly could. And it just – that's like the fun home run to watch. You could hear the Milwaukee crowd just kind of like, ooh.
Yeah.
There wasn't like an aw. That was like, oh, that's impressive.
Dick Enberg had a fun call with it. You could tell he knew the moment the ball hit the bat that thing was going to go way out of here. And it certainly did. A monster, monster home run. That made it 8-5 in the ninth inning with a couple of outs. They had scored previously on the Will Venable base hit. And you thought, okay, maybe. But as you said, a little bit too little. Too late for the Padres last night. You mentioned in passing Taylor Youngman. He was good, man. He was really, really good. Seven innings, two runs, struck out eight. But, like you said, a couple of innings against the bullpen. You'd love to see the Padres keep it close and then take their chances against those guys. Unable to do it. Ian Kennedy gave up the four in the first, really settled in after that. For me, it's easy to point at that first inning, but it's just as easy to point out it was a 4-2 game when Ian Kennedy came out after seven. And you would love to see a little bit more happening around it. Anyway, that's kind of the way last night shakes out. Turn the page to today, 11:10 first pitch. That's 1 hour from right now. Odrisimer Despagne will be on the hill against the veteran Matt Garza throughout the show. We'll take your Twitter questions and comments. You can send them in using the hashtag PadresSH. That's the hashtag, PadresSH. Jesse Spector of Sporting News will join us in a little bit as well. We're going to have some fun today, and when we come back, we'll talk about this date in Padre history, because it is a fun day in Padre history. Meanwhile, fun weekend coming up at Petco. The team is back starting tomorrow to take on the Phillies, and then Saturday night is baseball night in San Diego, and all fans in attendance will receive either a Gary Templeton or Benny Santiago throwback replica jersey presented by Fox Sports San Diego. Catch the Padres take on the Phillies at 5:40 and leave wearing the throwback brown and orange. Get your tickets today at Padres.com. And, of course, it's not just about the throwback jersey. Santiago and Templeton will be inducted into the Padre Hall of Fame Saturday pregame. Take a break. Come back. Talk about a very big day in Padre history right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padre Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United. Jesse Agler, Mike Grace, Jesse Spector going to join us from the Sporting News coming up in a few minutes. Today, August 6, 2015, August 6th, 1993, Tony Gwynn, career hit number 2,000, and then August 6th, 1999, hit number 3,000 at La Stade Olympique in Montreal.
His mom's birthday.
His mom's birthday, hit number 2,000 and hit number 3,000 on this date. This is a neat day in Padre history.
Big time. Remember it well. Obviously, they were in St. Louis right before that, mm-hmm. and the best fans in baseball, so you were hoping it was going to happen there.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry,
why you got
to
say that
I know.
Me?
No, but we really did want it to happen there if it wasn't going to happen
well,
at home.
Well, because, like, McGuire had a big milestone, right?
You had all the media following McGuire around with the home run chase, and so goes to Montreal
in front of 1,100 people.
Yep,
and collects hit number 3,000.
Yeah, and I could still hear Mel Proctor screaming about it in my ear. It was a exciting day. I think we were at Qualcomm Stadium watching on the big screen. Well, the mildly big screen that is there, and came home, celebrated a major, major celebration. They filled up the light ring banners there with every player that had ever hit 3,000. It was a really cool ceremony. Back when Charles Steinberg was here, and he was just the true doctor of putting on those types of ceremonies, and it was amazing.
Tom on Twitter has a very cool piece of memorabilia. He's got a ticket stub from that game at Olympic Stadium and autographed by Tony Gwynn. Dave Marcus, who is the radio engineer with Ted Leitner and Bob Scanlon for the Mighty 1090, he's been with the team, I think, since like 1974 or thereabouts, not literally.
Yeah.
But he's 20-plus years for Marcus, and he's told me the story a couple of times about on that trip. He wanted a ticket stub, so he just went to the box office and bought the cheapest ticket for that game so that he could have a ticket when Tony did hit number 3,000, and he got him to sign it afterwards. And he was so relieved that it was the first game of the series because he just had to keep buying tickets. And that one,
I'm sure they were really expensive in Montreal at the time, too.
Exactly. I looked pretty closely on Tom's tweet. I think it's a $5 ticket at Olympic Stadium. So you just go, you say, hey, you know, upper deck, section 400, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, can I have a ticket? And, you know, pretty cool. Cool moment, certainly, back in 1999.
No, really cool. I'm very envious of that piece of memorabilia. I mean, that's something that very few people can have, especially autographed by Tony. So, always great memories of Tony. Such good times.
All right, we got a roster move today as well. Will Venable making like Ian Kennedy, being placed on the paternity list.
Yeah.
So congratulations to the Venable family. I don't know if it's happened yet or if it's about to happen, but either way, congratulations, best wishes, good luck, et cetera, to Will and Catherine. So that's pretty exciting for them. And Alex Dickerson recalled from AAA El Paso for the first time. He'll be in a big league uniform in the regular season. Poway guy.
Yeah.
Went to Indiana. So he's got all kinds of fun connections.
Yeah, the pride of Poway. Interesting guy, an outfielder. He's got kind of a first baseman's build, but hasn't
taken. By the way, Randy Jones is the proud of Poway. Tony Gwynn, for that matter. No, nothing against Alec Dickerson.
Well, at least he's a native. He's the native of Poway. Those guys ended up there, which probably says a lot more about Poway than it does anything else. But, it's cool for that community, for this kid. Came over in a trade from the Pirates. And really crazy injury last year. So he kind of, explodes the heel. Or he didn't explode the heel. He turns his ankle, and they find this hole in the bone of his heel. And if he had stepped wrong, it could have ended his career, but luckily he turned his ankle and they find it, has surgery to fix it, comes out of that pretty well, has been having a pretty good year at AAA. So cool for him. I'm sure he'll get in a bat or two before Will comes back off paternity leave. So excited to see that. A lot of people have been kind of calling for him to come up when they needed a left-handed bat. So he was on the 40-man, makes a nice little debut coming up, hopefully.
There you go. So he is in at least for a couple of days. I think, 3 days is the maximum that you can be on the paternity list. And obviously helpful for Will Venable that the team returning to San Diego after this game. So he'll be around in town. And, again, congratulations to the Venables. Today, Despaigne and Garza as the Padres look to split this series. And, boy, after the first game in Milwaukee, we're feeling real good. The team had won a couple. And you're thinking, all right, this is the role that everybody's been waiting for since the trade deadline, 3-3. It's not going to get it done. You said got to play about 600 ball in the second in the post-trade deadline part of the season. And this, I'm not very good at math, but I know 3-3 is 500 ball.
Right.
And so they're 100 back points-wise. Got to get going again. And you say, hey, the Phillies are coming in. They're not good. The Reds are coming in. They're not good. The Phillies may actually be like the second or third hottest team in baseball right now. They're playing as well as they have at any point in this season.
Yeah, I mean, consecutive losses are killers. You can't have consecutive losses, which makes the two out of every three really difficult to do. And then basically, you almost feel like you have to sweep this next homestand. You need to win today. You sweep the next homestand. You finish that stretch of the schedule, three games above 500. Then you feel like, maybe you've got a chance to go on the road there. You've got some more teams that you feel like you can beat. But, yeah, I mean, you got to find a way not to lose two games in a row at this point. And like we said, you need to start playing them almost more like playoff games now, because at some point you're just going to get – if you don't keep winning, you're going to get to that point where there's no chance to come back, and then you're starting to figure out who's going to play what positions next year, and your priorities start changing.
Yeah, the whole thing really becomes a different animal. So after that first win in Milwaukee, we were saying, hey, they're two under 500. It's the closest they've been to 500 since mid-June. This is the time. And now you've lost two more games. You're back four under 500 at 52 and 56. And the last couple of days, you've got a lot of questions from people. Hey, if we go well here, we could really make up some ground on the Giants and the Cubs and the Mets, whatever, the Nationals, and the wild card chase. And the thing I keep saying is, hey, one thing at a time. And the first thing is get to 500. The thing after that is get a couple of games over 500, and then maybe we can start talking a little bit more about the standings. It's relevant to know how many teams are in front of them and how far back they are to the wild card, everything like that. But if you don't take care of your own business, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And the last two nights, the Padres have not taken care of their own business. They try and get back to doing that. This afternoon, day game, you throw Despaigne out there, and then start of the rotation with Shields tomorrow against Philadelphia. You sound like a broken record, but you got to get on the roll. You got to get on the really serious roll, and we're not talking 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5. You're talking about them having to have as big of a winning streak as they've had at any point in 2015.
You've got your three starters coming up here for the homestand. Hopefully Despaigne can go out and give you one of those good starts that he's very capable of having. You just never know. Maybe the bats break out one way or the other, but then you've got Shields, Ross, Cashner coming out for that Phillies homestand, and, I mean, it's weird. We keep saying it. This is your season. This is your season. In reality, it's not, because anything can happen with the what the Rockies did in 07 when they win 14 of the last 15. I mean, things like that really change things. But you obviously can't count on those things because they don't happen often. So, like I said, I hope these guys, and I know they do, they understand this is like their playoff baseball right now. And if they want this to be a meaningful season, they've got to do it right now. And like I said, let's hope they do it. Makes our lives much more fun.
Well, that's for sure. It makes everybody's lives much more fun. I mean, everybody wants the team to win, fans, everybody. I'll say this. I saw some tweets last night and even some coming in today. People are like, do they even care? That whole angle. That one always makes me uncomfortable.
Sure.
I don't like that one. They're trying to win. professional athletes, and we're lucky enough that we've gotten to be around them as part of our jobs. They are the most competitive people in the world. They want this thing. You know, Melvin Upton, despite the misplay in center field yesterday, he cares. He wants to win. You know, it's not an issue of caring or wanting. It's just not the easiest thing in the world to do. And, in fact, it's a quite difficult thing to do. And that's why most teams don't go to the playoffs, and that's why most teams don't win championships in whatever sport, because it is tough. So, look, I'm open to any kinds of criticisms you want to make. You know, if a guy's not playing, well, whatever. But it's not an issue of want to.
No.
It's not an issue of caring. Just, you know, throw that out there. That's not something you got to worry about, certainly with this team. That's just a point I always like to make every once in a while, because I think it's important.
Yeah, and, I mean, you look at baseball players and their demeanor. They play 162 games. I mean, you can't go out there like a football player every single game and act like a maniac. You'll just wear down within no time. But baseball's the funniest sport, and it's the reason we love it so much. I mean, you think about the teams like the Mariners. Think about the Nationals. I mean, the Mets are passing the Nationals. The Nationals were everybody's darling in the National League. On paper, the best team out there. You look at that pitching staff, and you're like, oh, my God, they should win 100 games. But it just doesn't happen that way sometimes. And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason for it. Sometimes there's a lot of luck in baseball, and it's just you got to go with it. Keep playing hard. These guys are playing hard. Give yourselves a chance to be in it, which in theory they still are, and you know, help them get there however we can.
Yeah, that's it. All right, cool. We'll take a break, and when we return, Jesse Spector of the Sporting News will join us. We'll talk to him about everything taking place around baseball. A little bit later, get back to your tweets. Remember, you can send in your questions and your comments. Use the hashtag PadresSH. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies, as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco at the Park at the Park or the Mercado. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Bloopers got us a sailboat. We're going out after the Padres beat the Brewers today. Take a break. Come back. Jesse Spector of the Sporting News right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Hi, welcome back to the show here at Petco Park. Padres are in Milwaukee. Final game of a four-game series against the Brew Crew. Matt Garza goes for the Brewers, and Odrysimer Despaigne back on the hill for the Padres. Jesse Agler, Mike Grace, and going to activate the Cholula hotline. And Jesse Spector, the Sporting News, is on it. He's on Twitter, at Jesse Spector. Thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it. You wrote a really interesting thing this week about the August trade deadline, right? We always say July 31st. Hey, remember, this is the non-waiver trade deadline. And so in the month of August, teams can make waiver trades. But you had a neat alternative idea that you wrote about, and if you can maybe give everybody the short version, sort of basing it upon the posting system that is used with the major leagues and the league in Japan.
Yeah, and my idea is basically that, you know, the waiver system had its purpose, and I think that today in the game that we have now, the ability to block players really stymies the market, and especially when you're talking about, you know, situations where teams are making the buy-sell decision very late in the going. You know, you look at a team like the Tigers, if they had had a longer amount of time to sell off, maybe it wouldn't have just been Price and Cespedes, although who knows, because Dave DeBrowski winds up being out of a job, if ownership was really interested in going in that direction anyway, it's a whole different kettle of fish. But, you know, the ability to block players is something that doesn't fit in with what anybody really wants to see. It's not helping anybody make their teams better, and it's standing in the way of making progress. So, yeah, you start by saying, all right, let's get rid of that system. And instead of having a system where, you know, a player clears waivers and then he's in limbo pretty much for the rest of the month, am I going to get traded? Am I going to stay here? Put a time frame on it and have it be like the posting system. You put a player up, teams come in with their best offers, the trading team either selects an offer to go ahead with a deal, or they say, all right, you know, we're not happy with the offers, we're going to hang on to this guy for the rest of the season. I think it would be a much more equitable way for the sellers to go about business. It would be more fair for the players, and it would give the buyers more of a chance on players who they want and who they need to help them make noise in the playoffs, and winds up being a better playoff product because you have better teams as a result. And so I think it's a win for everybody.
I think it would be a lot of fun, too, for fans and media to kind of keep track of all these things, particularly if the offers or the player who is being posted is made public. It's like, hey, man, we got 48, 72 hours to see what happens with, you know, whoever it is. I think it's a great idea. So we'll pass that one along to Manfred for you. Jesse Spector is with us from the Sporting News. You think the Mets are the biggest story in baseball right now, this moment, here on August 6th?
I think so, and I think a big part of that is because everybody expected the Nationals to just cruise to the playoffs. And part of the reason that they haven't is injuries over the first half of the season, but you know, they've gotten a lot of those guys back healthy now, like guys like Anthony Rendon and Jason Worth, and they're still struggling. Obviously, Strasburg is still out, but you know, it's a Nationals team that really hasn't put things together. And you know, the Padres were in New York when the whole Wilmer Flores situation happened, and then, you know, the next day you have that rain game, and you know, the Padres come back from a 7-1 deficit and beat the Mets. And for the Mets to just be at pretty much the lowest of the lows there to then come back, sweep Washington, go on the road and sweep the Marlins and take a 2-game lead in the East, it's amazing. It really is a fantastic story. I think, you know, the Blue Jays run since they traded for David Price is also right there. But the Mets are just the most compelling story to me right now going on, because they're suddenly in first place. And with the way that their lineup looks right now, they're a real dangerous team.
I like that you mentioned the Blue Jays, too, because that should keep their Twitter fans happy for the moment.
They're feeling overlooked.
It's like every time I see Jesse Spector tweet, he seems to be defending himself against the Blue Jay fans who feel slighted by something he either did or did not write. So I'm glad you worked it in, because for all the people in Toronto who are watching and listening, you know, now they can feel content for the moment.
Yeah, and if it's not there, sorry, go ahead, Jesse.
They're a great story, and yeah, you know, they have a really good chance to make the playoffs now. And I've been hard on them over the past year and a half, because I've had the idea that they should be in a better position than they are. I still think they should be in a better position than they are, because I think they should have built that team with more pitching from the beginning. I know Marcus Stroman got hurt, but they still didn't have enough pitching. I think, you know, not just getting Price, but getting LaTroy Hawkins and Mark Lowe for their bullpen was enormous for them, and it puts them in a position to be a playoff team. They could have been a team that was running away with the American League East right now. So I've had some criticism of the Blue Jays, and fine for Blue Jays fans to be excited right now, but at the same time, you know what the situation is.
And if that's not the most interesting story, it's probably Dave Dombrowski. Has anybody been able to figure out and make heads of tails of what's going on? I mean, this guy's been so successful there, and a track record before that of why the Tigers wouldn't want this guy around.
I don't know. And I think that part of it could have to do with, you know, just the way that the season has gone, and Dombrowski's been there a long time, and maybe you have the feeling from ownership that selling when you were still pretty close to the playoffs, even if it looked unrealistic, may not have been, you know, what ownership wanted. You don't know what the, you know, differences in opinion were there, and obviously he had a very successful run in Detroit. You can't judge everything on playoff success. You know, four straight American League Central titles, I think, for itself. When you're the best over 162, that means a lot. And I think that's an important thing to remember. Dave Dombrowski's going to get a job somewhere else, and he's going to be great, because that's who he is.
Yeah, it's I don't know if it was Billy Beane that said it, or if it was somebody who said it about Billy Beane, but the sort of thinking that a GM gets a team to the playoffs and the players and or manager is the one that wins a title. And I like that. I think that's an interesting way to look at it. You know, the architects of these teams, they've got to build a team that can survive the 162, thrive during the 162, and then at the end of the day, the playoffs being the crapshoot they are, it's much more on the players and the manager than it is on the front office, but obviously Detroit feeling a little bit differently. Jesse Spector is with us on the Cholula Hotline. He's on Twitter, at Jesse Spector. He's from the Sporting News. He's excellent on Twitter. I want to run something by you. You had a good idea with the posting system for August. I've got a big thing that I want to see changed in baseball, and I rant and rave about it all the time, but you're a national voice, so I want to bounce it off you and see what you think. One of my big okay. pet peeves that has really been exploited even more in the last couple of years with this replay system is the lack of communication from the umpires and Major League Baseball after a decision. So replay is a good example, but it's not just replays. I'm not talking if there's a bang-bang play at first base and it's challenged, then the guy's either safe or out, and we all know what's going on. But when there's a more complicated application of the rules, the fans, the broadcasters, the media, everybody is left in the dark sometimes until after the game when an umpire will release a statement sort of explaining what they did. I would love to see whether it's the umpire getting on the PA system like in football or whether it's calling up to the press box and them making an announcement, like an actual explanation of here's why we ruled this way on something, or here's what the replay umpire saw in New York, or even, and this was the example with the Reds-Pirates brawl the other day, when there's a bunch of random ejections, announcing immediately who has been ejected. Because when I broadcast games occasionally, there's nothing more frustrating than trying to guess what's going on down on the field. And this seems like such an easy fix for Major League Baseball. Just announce. Just communicate. Just tell us all what's going on. Waiting until after the game to figure these things out, I think, is like a great disservice to the fans at this point.
I totally agree with you, and I think that it's very easy with the communication that they have in place with the New York office for replay to make something like this happen. I don't think that you have to put it on the PA or anything like that, because you know, that could be seen as an intrusion that you don't necessarily need. I think, though, that you know, everybody who's on the field, all the players and managers are going to know, because they'll have gotten the explanation from the umpire and crew. If you just announce it in the press box, if there's a line between you know the official scorer and the you know umpiring headquarters back in New York, there's no reason that you can't get the explanation that way into the press box, and then it's on every reporter's Twitter feed anyway. And
right.
Like we saw with Wilmer Flores, once it's on Twitter, everyone in the ballpark is going to know.
Yeah, no, that's another good example.
Great.
Yeah, all right, good. So I'm glad I'm not crazy and the only one thinking about this kind of thing.
Kind of going back to your trade deadline talk, with the second wild card, things have obviously changed. And I'm of the opinion that the trade deadline should be moved back a couple weeks, especially with this waiver process. And like you described, it's not exactly ideal. Would you agree that the regular trade deadline should maybe be moved back a little bit?
I think it's something that's worth looking into. It's happened before. It happened you know, in the 80s. They moved it from June 15th back to July 31st, and it could be time to look at that again. I asked Rob Manfred about that at an event last week or a couple weeks ago. I guess it was a couple weeks ago now because the trade deadline was last week. He said, yeah, it's something that they're open to thinking about, and that's been, to me, the most encouraging thing about Rob Manfred's tenure before is that he seems very willing to listen to ideas about how to make the game better, and I think that this is one of them. I think that you know, giving teams more time, you don't see the early July trades anymore, and would you rather have everything compressed the way that it was, or would you rather have you know something like what we had in past years before the addition of the second wild card, where it's a 3 or 4 week trade period, really? I think that it's worth looking into, whether it's August 8th, August 15th, I think that a move would be helpful.
If nothing else, to give teams 2 more weeks to be competitive, it's good for their fans, and it's good for the game in general. You got to think it's going to lead to better baseball games, at least for 2 more weeks. And over the large sample size, maybe it's not a huge deal, but in the end, you know, it could make a bit of a difference.
Yeah, it gives more of an encouragement to a team that's falling out of it right after the All-Star break to start thinking about it early and try to jump on some things and try to you know get their players out there when it's still more of a seller's market, because it always becomes more and more of a buyer's market as teams fall out of contention. The longer that you go, the fewer teams are going to be buyers. So I think that does make sense, and I think that it's something that you know, would benefit. Again, there's nobody who loses there.
Yeah.
So why not try it?
Yeah, one of those, it almost makes too much sense kind of situations. Jesse Spector, the Sporting News on Twitter, at Jesse Spector. I'll tweet the link again to the story about the posting system in August and how fun that could be for people that haven't seen it. Love the idea, man. Always appreciate the time, and have a good week, man. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Be well.
All right, you too. Jesse Spector on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. I love the August idea, and I'll tweet the link. And basically his thought is, in the month of August, instead of this waiver system where guys got to clear waivers in order to be traded, or if he's claimed he can only be traded to that team, or he's pulled back, obviously, by the team, that you would have a system where you post a player. And so You know, let's who do we want to use as an example? Let's say the Mariners are way out of it and Nelson Cruz is later on in his contract and they want to maybe trade him. They put Nelson Cruz up, and then teams have 24 hours to make an offer for Nelson Cruz. And we don't necessarily know what those offers are. And then the Mariners can say, all right, we're going to accept the offer from Baltimore, and the deal is made. And that's it. Or they don't, and they pull him back the same way as the waiver system. It's a lot more fair. It's a lot more sensical and a lot more fun as well. So it's a great idea from Jesse. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Also return to your Twitter questions and comments using the hashtag PadresSH. Social Hour from the AMR studio continues right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks to Jesse Spector, Sporting News, for calling in. Discussing his story about the posting system proposal that he's got for August. Will be a lot of fun. And he kind of mentioned this at the end, and we've said this a few times on the show. Rob Manfred appears to be open-minded to change. You know, I don't know that you call anybody in baseball a true progressive, because that's just not the nature of this sport, or it hasn't been for a long time, but much more so than his predecessor. He is open to discussing things, having the conversations, and moving things forward, and we've already seen that a little bit in, what, just his first year or so. And that's great, man. That's all you can ask for, I think, at this point from the guy, and he's not even a year into this thing. So who knows, in 3 or 4 years when he's got his feet under him and he's creating his own legacy, you know, I think you could see some definite changes in baseball for the positive, and that's really, really exciting. Twitter questions and comments, hashtag PadresSH. Not going to put this one on screen because of the way he worded it, but Big Ahi wants to know how you're wearing long sleeves. It is a very warm day outside.
Our offices are very cold.
Extremely cold.
We're constantly cold in our offices.
Yeah, it's very cold up there.
I'm naturally always wearing a sweater. You and I were dressed fairly similarly today.
Ah.
So I was like, I'll break it up by throwing on the
SD top. So you didn't want to match.
Nah, I mean, we don't usually do that, so I think it'd be a little odd if we started doing that. So
when we wear the polos on Fox Sports San Diego, like for day games, you know, when I work with those guys on the games, everybody matches. That's their rule. So you didn't want to follow that same protocol.
Well, we didn't actually coordinate.
No, this was accidental.
We didn't speak last night about what we were going to wear. And so, I mean, even our socks are kind of matching in the color. Like, we both got the blue and the yellow going there.
How about
that?
So
I was like, I'll throw on the top.
Totally unintentional, though. We did text last night, but it was about the baseball game.
Yeah, baseball talk.
Maybe next time we text about outfits. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in.
All right. Other tweets that have come through. Jimbo, and I appreciate this, he is always keeping us up to date on what's happening with English cricket. This is a big topic on the show every now and again. And he says it has to be the end of days or some such. England dismiss Australia for 60. Oh, my goodness, for 60. I believe this means England wins.
I thought they spoke English in England.
They got different words for different stuff.
I have no idea.
England was way down in the Ashes.
Okay.
I know that. He's making it sound like something positive. Bill Center understands cricket.
Of course he does.
If he's watching, maybe he can text
cricket
or tweet.
Cricket motorsports. We'll leave that to Bill.
He knows sailing as well. He can crew for us this afternoon when we go sailing.
That I would. Blooper thinks he can sail. I will definitely take Bill Center.
Oh, yeah.
But they should be together because it's obviously a Skipper and Killigan situation with those two. We'll put on his Bill the Magnificent hat.
Yeah.
He can whack Blooper with it over the head.
That's a great idea.
Oh, that would be fun.
Blooper can wear a red shirt.
That should be your Christmas card.
100%. Bill Center as the Skipper. And he kind of looks like him. And Blooper is Gilligan. Doesn't look like him.
No, but he plays the part.
Him. Yeah, he definitely does. Netcutter on Twitter is looking ahead to this afternoon's game in Milwaukee. How about another hit from Odrisimer Despaigne today? Sign me up, man. Anytime OD gets a hit, it's a good day.
Nothing would make me happy. And that's the type of thing that would send him into a huge winning streak. That would get the clubhouse going. You see it in the dugout when he gets a hit. It would be amazing. I'm all for it. I don't know how we make that happen, but I will wish really hard.
You're talking winning streak. Again, the Phillies come in for three beginning tomorrow. I mentioned earlier that they're hot, and just so you don't think I'm, like, blowing smoke, I mean, they really are hot. They're playing really good baseball. They're hosting the Dodgers this afternoon. Zach Greinke pitching for Los Angeles, and the Phillies got 5 runs against him in the first inning.
That makes no sense at all.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. They're up 5-3 on Greinke in the second.
Like, he's the best pitcher on the planet right now, and it's not even close.
And they roughed him up in the first.
it's so bizarre. I mean, the whole Cole Hamels no-hitter on the way out, the way it ended. I mean, obviously they're too far out of it to do anything, but, man, I guess they're going to play spoiler on some level.
Yeah, well, hopefully not for the Padres this weekend. Maybe San Diego can send them back to Earth. How about that? Send those Phillies back to Earth. We'll take a break, come back, give you the starting lineup for this afternoon's game in Milwaukee. We'll also have our head-to-head challenge. Grayson Blooper will each select a player from today's starting lineup who they think will have the biggest impact on today's game. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, come back. Starting lineup for today's game in Milwaukee on Padres Social Hour.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Mike Grace, Becky Blooper. I'm Jesse Agler. Hey, let's take a look at the starting lineup for this afternoon's game. About 20 minutes from now, Matt Garza will throw pitch number one to Alexi Amarista. Starting lineup presented by United. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. Amarista leading off again at shortstop. Solarte hits second at third base. Matt Kemp in right, Upton in left. All right, everything pretty standard there. And then Brett Wallace getting the start at first base, batting fifth after his 9,000-foot home run last night. Derek Norris behind the plate. Barmas gets the start at shortstop. Amarista's at second, by the way. Blooper made a typo here, not surprisingly. Melvin Upton Jr. will be the center fielder, batting eighth, and Despaigne bats ninth. Here's the thing with Blooper.
I can't wait for this.
The lineup every day is, like, really stressful to him.
It really is.
It's really stressful. You would think it's a pretty straightforward thing. Name, position, number. Every day, it's a great source of frustration for him. He gets very paranoid. He always asks either Becky or I to proofread it.
No, he has like eight people to look it over for him.
Apparently not today.
Not on day games.
Not on day games. Not enough time to get it proofread. Amarista starting at second base. Barmas at shortstop.
Maybe he's like a new sabermetrics person, and he's like, no, they're playing two shortstops today. You don't understand. They're going to put everybody on the left side of the infield.
Nope. Blooper, what do you have to say for yourself?
I got nothing.
Like that's a pretty standard reply. All right, Supercuts head-to-head challenge, Grace v. Blooper. Grace, you got the first pick.
I'm going to take the left-handed first baseman.
Brett Wallace.
Yeah.
The Sun Devil.
I like a lot of what's in that bat.
Arizona State.
Yeah.
All right, so you're taking Wallace. Blooper, your choice?
Despaigne.
You're taking OD?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why you sound so defeated as you're saying it?
I'm so upset about the lineup. I, like, triple-checked it today. I really can't.
What does that mean?
I looked it over. Like, I kept going back to it to double check.
Wait, what's your process, though?
I go, like, position.
Obviously not. You screwed up the first guy, the literal leadoff man.
You're like, oh, let me make sure.
You didn't even get the first thing right.
Let me make sure there's one of every position. That's not the first thing you look for?
He's got nothing. He has nothing he can say. There's absolutely nothing he can say. Nice job, Blooper.
Can't wait to meet Taylor Swift.
We'll pray for you. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Tomorrow we'll announce the winner. Hey, what's the standings look like? It's been really tight.
Oh, it's back and forth.
I mean, the couch versus Blooper, it's like back and forth. And where are we at? The couch is up one. Grace, if you win today, you put a little distance between the couch and
Blooper's like the Padres. He gets close to 500, never quite gets there or stays there.
Yeah, yeah. They're far more skilled than he is. Let's not.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, all right. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. But, you know, so we do the show, the AMR studio here. It's in the Western Metal building in the team store. So that's really fun because, you know, before games, home games, a lot of people in here, they come by. They say hi. They want to chat, whatever. Off days, you never quite know who's going to show up because people are just shopping in the store. There was a dude here. I swear to you, for a moment, I thought it was Bumgarner.
Really?
He's got the hair and the beard. And I did like a double take when you were talking a few minutes ago. It was just a guy walking around the store. And I was like, whoa. But then it's just a guy.
I would worry about the structure of this building with all these wood beams. He would start chopping them down.
Yeah, that's his thing. But anyway, it was not Madison Bumgarner.
Thank God.
After my double take. Friday night, tomorrow night, Cocktail Fest out at the park before the game. You got a 7:10 first pitch between the Padres and the Philadelphia Phillies. But before that, the pouring begins at 4:30. 4:30 p.m. So you want to get out to the park at the park early. Get your tickets at padres.com/party. A lot of fun. It's basically a big outdoor happy hour out at the park at the park. Padres.com/party for all the details. And we'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this Thursday social hour right after this. All right, Alexi Amarista starting at second base in the leadoff spot. Nice job, Blooper. Good try today. Thanks, Grace. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock, a little earlier than usual, 5 p.m. tomorrow. Fox Sports San Diego will be carrying the pregame ceremonies the next two nights, honoring Dick Enberg, Gary Templeton, and Benny Santiago. Enjoy the game!